Morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I like it. Andrew's right down front. I can preach to him today. Amen. Okay, you listen. You got it? Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now you can tell that Paul is a Baptist preacher because what's the first word in that chapter? Finally, and he goes on for a whole chapter. He's only two-thirds of the way finished. So when I say I'm about done, you know, that's the 30 or 65% mark in the message. But anyway, Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he's talking to some folks about things that can stop them. Things that can stop them. What can stop you? There are things that can stop you. Yeah. We're going to look at some of those. What can keep you going? Isn't it interesting that the Lord puts things together? The first song today, anybody remember? Great is thy faithfulness. That was the first one, wasn't it? One of the first ones. And then what did Mr. Dahlman just sing? My anchor holds. So we know we've got a faithful God. If we have a faithful God, can we be a faithful people? Amen? Do you think anybody is going to stand before God someday and say, I quit because it was impossible to go on? You might have to debate that one a little bit. I was talking to Carlos on Thursday, and I called a fellow in back east, and he shocked me. He told me something. I knew a man when we were in Maryland. And this would have been probably about 2006, 5 or 6. So it would have been about 15, 17 years ago. This man's name was Scott. And he came to start a church near our church. In fact, way too near of our church. But God moved him over a little bit. His name was Scott. And he started this church. And I learned that 2 weeks ago, in his 40s, he was 47, I believe, that he stepped into eternity. And the first thing that occurred to me is, you know, one thing I know about him, he kept on going until the end. Now, I hope not many of us face eternity that young in life. Some of us may. I hope all of us live much longer than that. In fact, most of us have already. Amen? I had a time with the Kaufmans on Friday night, and I'm 64 years old this December. And still going. And you say, well, that's just because you're a great guy, Pastor. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm kidding. No, it's because of the Lord. Amen? Amen? What could stop you? What could keep you going? That's what Paul's talking about. And don't forget, the Thessalonians were persecuted, hounded, attacked, confronted by people that hated them because they trusted Christ. So they had obstacles that we don't face. We come across a little of that, but not like they had. So look with me, if you will, in chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians. And I'm just going to read the first 5 verses, and we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course, and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, amen, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Look at verse 4. I want to read that together out loud if we can, please. Verse 4. Here we go. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Father, thank you this morning. As Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, we see some things that are very clear to us that were obstacles in their day that they overcame. God, I know today there are obstacles in our day, and we have to have your support, your strength, your establishment so that we can go on and not be stopped. And Father, I think of some folks that have been stopped along the way. But God, I pray for the people in this room today that we would understand what you're saying to us here in these five verses and that we would learn what we need to do not to be stopped. God, I ask you to bless our service. Thank you for each one here today. Please bless them for being here and please be glorified in them as they are here. And then I pray for the folks that couldn't be here today that you'd care for them as well. We thank you for what you're going to do and we thank you for what you have done already. And we pray that you would show us things that would stick with us and change our lives. We ask in Christ's name, amen. So I had a friend back in Texas a long time ago, and he was going to get married to go on a vacation. And he loaded up his family, and they had a station wagon, and they put a bunch of stuff. Remember how they used to have those racks on top of cars? You'd tie stuff on top of the car. And they took off down a main road that goes out of Dallas, Texas. And they got about 5 miles down the road. And the whatever he had used to tie his things on top of the car came loose. And everything flew off the top of the car into about 5 lanes of traffic. And you can imagine what that looked like. People running over the luggage, running over the clothes, And he said, he told me this story very matter-of-factly. He said, you know, we just got off at the next exit and went home and just didn't even go on vacation. And I thought to myself, that's really sad because I know that his children for the rest of their life remembered, we quit. And if that had been you and I hope what you'd do is go back home and get your other stuff and get back in the car and keep on going. Amen? That's the right thing to do. You don't want to be that person that quit because they didn't have to. You say, well, Pastor, it's so hard. Can I point you to some people in the Bible? Like Joseph? Let me ask you, have you dealt with what he had to deal with? His family forsook him, and his brothers took him and threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery in Egypt. And then he went to Egypt, and he's doing a good job for this man named Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him, and now they throw him in prison. And he's in prison, and he meets a baker and a butler, and he says, hey, when you get out, don't forget to tell somebody about me to get me out. And they forget about him. That's not the end of the story, is it? Now, Joseph could have said, oh, come on. First, my family forsakes me. Then I get in this house, I'm doing a great job for him, and this woman sets me up. And they falsely accuse me and throw me in prison. And then I get in prison and I tell this butler and this baker about me. And they get out and don't even remember me. And here I am in prison. Maybe God's not on my side. Folks, God's on our side. You ever felt that way? Maybe I should just give up. Maybe I should just, you know, there are people that are just waiting to die. They have no purpose in life. They've got plenty to eat and plenty to drink and plenty to wear, and they've got a decent place to live. Folks, there's more to life than what we eat and drink and have, isn't there? And they've given up. I've seen too many people do that. They stop. So there's two things you're going to see in this passage, some things that could stop you, but that's not really what I'm interested in. What about the things that can keep us going? Now, here's what it's going to be. Have you ever bought one of those books, and this book is going to tell you how to have a better life, okay? And my wife and I joke about this sometimes. If it's anything to do with your health, and you buy the book, here's how to have a better whatever, I can already tell you what's in it. Diet and exercise. We joke about it. She'll say, I've got a cold. I said, diet and exercise. Yeah, diet and exercise, that's what every book says. Everything you read on the internet, it's all diet and exercise. It's not quite that easy, is it? So don't think that just because you got the list, oh, here's the three things Pastor said, the Bible said I need to do to keep on going. That's not really where it stops. Now there's a question of applying those. I got on the scale this morning and the number was down. And I thought, wow, I can have chocolate cake now. No, because then the scale will go up. The Kaufmans brought cookies, good cookies, by the way. And I'll have one of those because I want to thank them for bringing them. But let me tell you something. You got to be persistent. You got to keep on going. You can if God helps you, and He'll help you if you do it His way. So watch this. This is interesting to me. Obstacles. Look at what Paul has to say. Now, if you want to talk about a man who saw some obstacles, Paul knew obstacles. Paul was a man that had been stoned, had been beaten, had been shipwrecked, had been left for dead. The Jews hounded him and chased him. He was in prison. He was beaten. But he didn't quit. And I don't want to keep pointing to the man. God sustained him is the thing to point to. So look at this, just a couple of things. First of all, look what Paul has to say to them in verse 1. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Well, I'm going to come back to that, but let me tell you why. That the word of God, or the word of the Lord, I'm sorry, the word of the Lord may have free course. Free course. That phrase, that word course, and that phrase free course means not to have anything in the way. You know, they run those races, and they have the sprint where you just see how fast you can go for 100 yards. And then that wasn't quite hard enough, so they put hurdles. Now you got to jump over things on the way. And then that wasn't quite hard enough, so they have the steeplechase where they got a puddle of water on the backside of the hurdle. And, you know, I was already done before we even got to the hurdles. I was just glad to be able to stop at the end of 100 yards. And when I was in high school, we had a coach, and he would time us, and my times were not good. And he said, you need to wear better tennis shoes. You need some. You can't have those big, heavy clunker things on your feet. You need some light tennis shoes. And then 1975, I paid $40 for a pair of running shoes. That's like $10,000 now. I mean, it's, you know, for a high school student, and I didn't have any money. I paid $40 for a pair of running shoes. And for those of you that know anything about sports, I got my 40-yard dash down to 6 seconds flat, and I was tickled to death. That's terrible. A football player with full equipment can run it in 4.5 seconds. And but anyway, he said, you need to have lighter things on your feet when you run. You need to have less resistance. You need to be able to go faster because things aren't stopping you. Now, I'm not going to ask you to give me a long list here, but you think about it. There are some things that can stop the Bible from being effective. The devil would like for the Bible not to have free course in your life. Oh, the devil would like for the Bible not to have a free course, an unobstructed path in the lives of people on the mission field. We got some good missionary letters this week. Come back tonight. Brother Mark's going to read us one from a family we've been waiting to hear from for a long time. But I got several other good ones, didn't I? There's some good ones back there. And our missionaries write us. And you know what the missionaries say? It's right here in verse 1. Pray for us. We all know how to pray, don't we? Do we pray? Do we pray as we should? Now watch this. These are things that can make a difference, and you take them for granted, but the first thing that can make a difference is our prayers. What would happen if everybody in our church, for the next 2 weeks, every day, all of you, for the next 2 weeks, every day, if you prayed for God to bless our bus ministry? Do you think that would make a difference? If you think that would make a difference, say amen. Amen. Now, let me ask you, will you pray? Okay. Did we pray like we should have for our missionaries this last week? Did we pray like we should have for the ministries of our church last week? You see, Paul says the same thing every missionary I've ever talked to has said. He says, pray for us. In your bulletin, if you have the bulletin, you can look at it. On the front, inside front cover, it says missions. It's got a list of all of our missionaries. There was an error that I finally found this week, and the error was that I had Jeffrey Brown going to India. Well, it's in there, right? Mine is still there. And Jason Ronzioni, he's not going to India. Where's he going? Wales. And I thought, oh, I'll trick the church and ask them if they've seen the error in the bulletin. If you use that list to pray for the missionaries, you could come to pastor and say, hey, pastor, you got a problem here in the bulletin. Mr. Rongione's going to Wales. I'm not going to ask you because it's a convicting question, but I wonder how many of us prayed for each of our missionaries this week. Now, you agree with me that if we prayed for the bus ministry every day for the next 2 weeks, and by the way, please do, that we would have the blessings of God that we wouldn't otherwise have, right? What would happen if we prayed for our missionaries that way? Oh, let me just remind you, you can be selfish about this. When you pray for the missionary, God's not just going to help them, he's going to help you. There was a man, I can't tell you the whole story, it's too long, but his name was Scott Ledoux, another Scott, Scott Ledoux. I met him, 91, 93 probably. I met him in 93. He was going to go to Canada. He was going to go to, I can't remember, but he wound up in Canada. And for some reason, I got convicted about praying for him. And I prayed for that man every day for years and years and years and years and years. And about, and I lost track of him because our church didn't support him, but I kept praying for him anyway. And you know what happened? 10 years later, I wound up being that man's, basically his missions board for a while. I handled his money. I sent the receipts out to the people giving him money and so on. You say, why would God give you the privilege of serving a missionary like that? Because I prayed for him. Maybe you don't want to do that, but I'm just telling you, it'll be a blessing to you if you pray for folks. We know how to pray. We know we ought to pray, but the devil stops us, doesn't he? We forget. We get distracted. We get busy. Have you ever noticed it doesn't take a long time to pray? Well, you know, you hear about people praying for half an hour. I wonder how many of us prayed for half an hour any given day this week. And it's not that you're in prayer. It's not an endurance test. It's not that much speaking. The Bible's very clear. Much speaking is not the goal. Saying a lot of words is not the goal. But can you really say, Lord, I want to come to you with my needs and spend time with him every day. Remember the missionaries. And by the way, God doesn't need a list, but I do. My memory's not that good. And write these things down and pray for them. I'll just ask it this way. Will you do that? Amen? You see, we know there are obstacles to the Word of God. I think about the Brown family going to India. Oh, it is horrible to try to get the gospel out in India. There are people that I know missionaries there. It's just very difficult. They need our prayers that the Word of God would have free course. One of the things that can stop us, the obstacles, the Word of God shouldn't have those, and praying for them, our prayers can make a difference. Now look at the second thing you see. In verse 2, there's an obstacle there. He says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Let's just stop right there for a moment. He's still talking about prayer, but you must understand, I was talking to a man that was familiar with Mexico this last week, and we were talking about Magdalena, which is only about, I don't know, an hour south of the border. And then we were talking about Nelson Dorr, who's in Navajoa, which is 8 hours south of the border in the state of Sonora. And somebody asked me, does he ever encounter the cartels? And the answer is, oh, yes. The guy in Magdalena encounters the cartels, and he's only an hour south of the border, approximately. How do they survive when the cartels, which, by the way, have some pretty wicked men, wouldn't you agree? Well, you know what? They're still there. I'm not talking about the cartels. I'm talking about Nelson Dorr and Steve Harris. They're still there. And a whole bunch of other folks are still there as well. How can that be? It can only be one thing. God must be protecting them. Now, have you been praying for them? Maybe your prayers are protecting them. Amen? That's what Paul says right here. Look at verse 3. He says, but the Lord is faithful. What did we sing? Great is thy faithfulness. Folks, you never, ever have had and never will have an opportunity to say, God wasn't there when I needed him. Amen? God wasn't there to hear my prayer. You'll never be able to say that. God wasn't willing to help. You'll never be able to say that. Now, there's some things that can hinder our relationship with him, but faithfulness is the hallmark of God. He is faithful, and since he is faithful, we can be faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. He says, the Lord is faithful in verse 3. And then I like this next word, who shall? He didn't say who might. He didn't say who could. He didn't say who ought to. He says to the Thessalonians, who shall? What's that next word? Establish. We don't use that word too much. Establish. Here's a thought for you. What a difference the Lord can make. What a difference our prayers can make, but what a difference the Lord can make. And I like Paul's phrase of speech here. He doesn't say, well, I hope this works out, and good luck to you guys, and I don't know, we'll see you later if you're still here. He says, the Lord shall establish. We use the word establish, or we say establishment. You know what establish means? It means to fix it in place, to have something that is sturdy, something that's not going to be moved. And it says, the Lord who shall establish you. Let's just stop right there for a minute. I'll ask you the question. Has God established you? Amen? Does he want to? Yeah. You know, when I was in the Army, they used to tell us, they'd give us coordinates on a map. Go there and stay there. How long? Until we come get you. And we'd figure out a way to get there and we'd get in position and we'd dig in and we'd do all the goodies you do, range cards for machine guns and stuff like that. And then somebody would ask me, Lieutenant, when are we moving? I don't know. They didn't tell me to go here until a certain time. They just said, go here and wait. They'll tell us when to move. Meanwhile, enjoy. Folks, did God put us here? You know how long we're going to be here? Until he moves us. Now, we could say, you know, I've been here a long time. I don't see any purpose for this. I think I'm going to go do something else, going to go be somewhere else, going to try something else. That's not what God said. God says, stay put. I think it's safe to say God's got us here for a reason. We were driving around yesterday looking at all the neighborhoods and the apartment complexes and the trailer courts. And I was just telling Carlos, you know, it'll take you about a day to go through this one, maybe two. And if you have some help, it'll go faster. And the trailer court isn't so bad. But the apartment complex takes a couple of days to go through. And then the neighborhoods will take a day or two to go through. And we saw a lot of children yesterday, didn't we? Children I didn't know, new children, and tried to find some of the ones that used to come on the bus, and we found one empty apartment that was being remodeled. They've moved. You say, well, now I guess we don't need a bus ministry anymore. No, we got some new ones to reach now, amen? That's the great thing about a bus ministry. There's always new, and God's got us here for a reason, established. God says, here you are. I want you to stay here. I can keep you here. Be established. What a difference the Lord can make. Let's keep reading. He says, and keep you from evil. Whew. Well, that gets tough. Now, there's two or three thoughts there. First of all, evil can be, oh, like Mrs. Mendez mentioned, it can be a health issue. That's a type of evil. It's a type of destruction, a type of something that comes into our life and stops us or could stop us. But I'm not worried about that one quite so much as the kind of evil that might persuade us to follow it. The world says, hey, come over here. I got something for you. And the thing I'm going to make my third point, the first point is this, what a difference prayer can make. Amen? Now, if you believe that, what are you going to do? Folks, help me out here. If you believe that, what are you going to do?
Pray.
Amen. Okay, what a difference prayer can make. What a difference the Lord can make. What a difference obedience can make. Obedience. Keep you from evil. Let's keep reading. We have confidence in the Lord touching you. Now look what he say. He said that. He didn't say we have confidence in you. He said we have confidence in the Lord touching you. That ye both, verse 4, that ye both, and he's talking about two things, not two people. That ye both do, that's one thing. And will do, that's the second thing. the things which we command you. Now, if you start to look, and I won't show you all of them, but in this chapter, we're going to see some more occurrences of that word command. It's in verse 6, it's in verse 10, it's in verse 12. There are some commands. You know, some people don't like that word command. They don't like to be told what to do. When I was in the Army, I was a lieutenant, had a platoon, about 30 guys, part of a company, about 120 guys, part of a battalion, which was about 500 guys, part of a brigade, which was a couple of thousand guys, part of a division, which I forgot now, 12,000 or something like that, whole bunch of different units out there, and I was a lieutenant with 30 guys, and I did not know the big picture. I had a general idea, you know, this is the front, and we're supposed to be over here, and we're going to shoot that way, and, you know, and I had a map, and I might have some reconnaissance information, but I didn't know the big picture. I just knew the job I have is important, because if I don't do my job, somebody else is going to pay the consequences. Folks, you don't know the big picture. You can't even begin to comprehend it. But God's got a purpose for you. Amen? I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about individuals in the church. And God says, here's what I want you to do. That's called a command. We used to have a chain of command in the Army, and that was the people that can tell you what to do. Well, God is our supreme commander. Amen? And when he says, do it, what are we going to do? We're going to do it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a message for a lot of folks. But what is our place? Well, our place starts right outside these doors. That shouldn't say exit. It should say entrance. You're entering into that field God's given you and I to harvest. And when God put us here, he put us here. I don't know the big picture. I don't know what's going to happen 1,000 miles away. I may have a few missionaries out there, but I know this. God's got something for us to do, and he's given us commands. And let's digress just a tad. I'm almost out of time, but I'll use Paul's word. Finally, you didn't get it. Okay. There are commands that are good for us. Don't do that. Do this instead. Make sure you pray. Make sure you read your Bible. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's a command. And you know what happens when we don't keep God's commands? The same thing that happens in the Army when folks disobey orders. Now they're not effective anymore. We talk about that a lot. Mr. Dahlman talked about it a little bit this morning. When you and I forsake God's commands and do what we want to do, it limits, hinders, stops our effectiveness. What a difference prayer can make. Prayer is calling the power of God into our situation. What a difference the Lord can make. He can establish us. He can keep us in place. What a difference obedience can make to do what God says to do. Now, let's just turn this upside down and apply it real quick and I'll be done. I hate to mention it, but I know people who have quit. I know lots of people who have quit. I'd rather think about the folks that didn't quit. Amen? But I know people that have quit. Just about guarantee you, one of these three things didn't get done. They either let disobedience into their life, and they became, I'll just say, affected by it, attracted to it, distracted from what they should have been doing. Or perhaps their relationship with God fell apart. They didn't spend any time with God, and they lost that stability they need. Or they didn't pray. We need those three things in our life. I'm just going to tell you, if it was easy, they used to say, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. If it was easy, there wouldn't be any dropouts in the ranks of Christians. If it was easy, all the churches would be full. If it was easy, we'd all be going door to door 6 nights or 5 nights a week. If it was easy, but it's not. But it's not impossible either. We've all watched the Olympics and you've seen some athlete do something that is incredible. Amazing feats, running so fast, jumping so high. Saw a video the other day of the longest long jump that's ever been recorded. 39 feet. How? I'm talking about a guy that just took off running, came to the line and jumped and went 39 feet in the air. I can barely crawl that far. 39 feet. I suspect he worked at it. I suspect he wanted it. I suspect he stuck with it until he got that good. But folks, his name's in the record book. He might have a medal somewhere. Might have got a few dollars for it. You and I are called to something far more important. We're called to be faithful to our God. And it's hard, but it can be done. You got to make a decision. You got to depend on the Lord. He is faithful. You need to pray. You need to have a relationship with Him. You need to obey Him. You knew that when we came in 45 minutes ago. But maybe God wants to remind us. It's not enough to know it. You see, James said it this way, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." We know it. I know. I cannot go home and eat a chocolate cake. I sure do want to. But if I do, I'm not going to accomplish my goal. You know there's some things that the world is trying to offer you. If you accept them, it's going to stop you. But for our Savior's sake, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, who faced something so horrible that he prayed to God, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." That's how bad it was that even our Savior said, "I do not want to have to endure this." But what were his last words? "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And he endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, and now because of that, we can be saved. Because of him, for him, let's do what we need to stay faithful. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.